Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today, Friday, February 10th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
You know, did you ever hear of dress-down Fridays, you know, where people go to the office and they don't have to wear their suits and things like that?
Is that when you get to sit around just your jockey shorts? Is that what you mean?
No.
Well, that's what it means for me.
I mean,
if I'm going to be dressing down, that would be the next step down, probably.
I don't mean for us. I was going to just have a laid-back Friday. Laid-back Friday. But if you want to wear your joggy shorts, be my guest. But just don't tell us. We don't want to know.
It's not something I've brought up in the past, Melody, but I mean, you make the suggestion, and I'm just saying.
No, it's laid-back Fridays, you know, where we just get a little more lighter news and, you know, not so heavy and blah, blah. So, laid-back Friday, folks. Come join us for February 10th, 2017, and just don't tell us what you're wearing. Anyway, gold today. Gold had a beautiful day today. Really nice day. Down early morning trade before the markets open. I was following it early, and I was just like, it's going to be another nasty day for gold. But gold was up $5.10 today. Turned around, $1,233.90. Silver, beautiful day. Another perfect performance for silver. Up 32 at 1,803. Platinum, not so lucky. Down 4. At 1,014, and palladium had a good day, up 13 at $786. The USDX up 0.13 at 100.78. Crude oil was up 80 cents at 53.80. And the paper markets today, the Dow up 9. Everything was up today. The Dow was up 97 at 20,269. The NASDAQ was up 18 at 5,734, except platinum. And the S&P was up 8 at 2,316. Twitter was down again today, another 5%. Looks like everything else was pretty much up. The euro was down 106, down 0.18. Hey, with Abe's visit to the White House today and tomorrow, their market roared 2.5% overnight. All the worries are gone, Al.
Well, this is the Trump rally. And, you know, you got some of these protesters running around that are rioting and having demonstrations and throwing fireworks and one thing another, trying to start fires. All you need to do is give them a little stock. Let them have an interest in the market, and they'll be just as happy as they could be.
Just happy and peaceful.
That's it.
Speaking of demonstrations and riots and all those kinds of things, Merriam-Webster announced that they were going to add more than 1,000 words to its dictionary, and among them are microaggression and safe space. The dictionary said in a news release that words are chosen depending on their frequent or increased use among a wider range of sources. They are therefore likely to be encountered by a reader and should be in the dictionary, the news release said. Sometimes it can take decades for a word to get added. And Merriam-Webster notes in its entries that the first known use of both microaggression and safe space was in 1970. So the new entry defines a microaggression as a comment or action that subtly and often unconsciously or unintentionally expresses a prejudiced attitude toward a member of a marginalized group. It also lists microaggression as an adjective, as well as microaggressor as a noun. And they define a safe space as a place intended to be free of bias, conflict, criticism, or potentially threatening actions, ideas, or even conversations.
And they're talking about graveyards.
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
my safe space.
And we're going to have a safe space where you don't hear anything you don't want to hear. There's nothing out. Why can't we all get along? That was Rodney King. Rodney is because we're all alive. We get along just fine as soon as they shut the lid on the box. Everybody shuts up and peace in the valley.
Well, last night they came out and President Trump issued a challenge after a federal appeals court unanimously decided to uphold a suspension of his executive order. Trump's orders restricted travel for people from 7 majority Muslim countries. Last week, the U.S. Judge James Robart issued a temporary restraining order halting the enforcement of the president's actions. Following news of the ruling, Trump tweeted, "See you in court. Security of our nation is at stake." Trump told NBC News that the ruling was a political decision, echoing comments he made at a law enforcement conference earlier this week. The president expressed confidence that his administration would ultimately win this fight. So, you can criticize or not criticize, but you can discuss, how they should have rolled it out. Maybe the defense attorney, the litigator wasn't really up to power. You could do all of this. But really the reasons, it's really truly amazing that you have a state, two states, that's able to say no to the president on an executive order that is intended to protect this country from some sort of an outside event.
Attack.
An attack. Mm-hmm. And I do hope and this could go on for weeks. There's discussions that, he should just throw this away because it's a small part of his security issues, the wall, and there's a lot of other things that he can do as far as the vetting system and prove that and this. He doesn't need that executive order to do a lot of that. But I think he should fight this.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it earlier in the week where it turns out that there was an act passed in 1952 that allowed the president to deny entry into this country from any country, from any group. If he thought they posed a threat to this country, he can refuse to allow them in. That's been on the books some like 65 years already.
But I also think there was other things that were put on the books after that.
But you mean you think it was repealed?
Not repealed, but changed. But however, from what I heard, that one of the arguments out of Washington was that this executive order, his restricted travel for people, would keep kids from getting to the colleges. That was their main concern. That was how they were able to keep this restricted order in place. That's how they were able to, and that was supposedly the argument. Well, his order, his executive order, would keep kids,
college students, countries. It would impair their ability to get to class, attend, stay in the U.S. colleges. Well, that's interesting, but Jimmy Carter, according to the reports on this 1952 act, he used it when he was in office back, I don't know when that was, I think in the early 70s, but he used it relative to Iran. And he forced all of the Iranian students in this country to come in and get checked out, make sure their visas were straight, and make sure they weren't terrorists and whatever. And he actually used the act, and these were college students. So Carter used it on college students, and he ultimately, according to what I remember reading in the article, again, this goes back a couple of days ago, but my recollection is he caused 15,000 people to be deported. Right, he didn't deport all of the kids that were in the colleges, but he deported some of them and probably some others who weren't in college at all. But he allegedly caused 15,000 Iranians to be deported. And many of you may remember the conflict we had with Iran, which ultimately cost Carter his reelection. Mm-hmm. Now, he failed to save the hostages initially. That was when Iran seized the U.S. embassy, and when things went on, and then they tried to rescue them with helicopters, and they didn't have the right air filters for the helicopters, and the whole thing turned into a fiasco. And Carter was tarred with that brush, and was one of the reasons that Ronald Reagan was elected.
So
the point is, it's been done before. Yeah. I don't know if it's an old thing. Those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. Well, it appears that people are going to learn from the history again.
Even Sirius Assad told Yahoo News that some refugees are definitely terrorists.
Yeah.
He did an exclusive interview with Yahoo News at a presidential office in Damascus. Assad said President Trump's freeze on admitting refugees from his country, part of an executive order that we've just discussed, is an American issue, he said, on which he would not take sides. But asked if some of those who fled are aligned with terrorists, Assad quickly replied, definitely. Yeah. He said you could find it on the net. Assad went on, those terrorists in Syria holding a machine gun or killing people, they appear as peaceful refugees in Europe or in the West. He said he couldn't estimate how many there might be, but he added that you don't need a significant number to combat atrocities. Yep. He noted that the 9/11 attacks were pulled off, I didn't mean to say blah, 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 blah.
So but you can.
But I can.
This is
it's
a laid-back
Friday.
Hmm?
You owe me a Coke.
Uh-huh.
So as for the future of Syria's 4.8 million refugees, Assad said, for me, the priority is to bring those citizens to their country, not to help them immigrate. So, interesting.
Well, I understand. And the other thing is this. There's two other things. One, a devout Muslim is never going to assimilate into this country. Right? He is here to change our culture. He is not here to give up his. And that's one of the reasons why he shouldn't be here. And the other reason is, I've talked about it before, but they've done two studies on genetic implications of marrying your first cousins. The Muslims have been doing this for something like 6-8 centuries.
Yeah,
they've been marrying their first cousins because Muhammad married his first cousin, and so they're trying to emulate Muhammad. And the net result is genetic damage that it makes them more prone to birth defects, disease, night blindness, lowered IQ, a whole bunch of things. There have been real consequences, adverse consequences of embracing the Muslim faith that will remain with the Muslim people for centuries. It's not something they have now been inbred to the point where they're not going to give. They can't solve this problem. This isn't something where it's, we're going to stop marrying our first cousins, then everything will be all right. No, the Muslim genome, if you can say such a thing, that has been permanently impaired by their faith. And as a reason, if they're coming here, they're going to bring more disease. They're more prone to disease. They're going to need more medical care. They're going to have
not in defense of them. But I mean, we have opened our borders, and we already know that we're bringing in, you know, diseases. Things are coming back. You're seeing signs of polio picking up here and there. You know, there's been various other diseases that, you know, it was pretty much, they were pretty much eradicated. And then with the open borders, they're certainly beginning to show up again in larger and larger numbers. So, you know, but anyway, so that was it with the Trump, and so I hope you know he will fight, and he is from Japan. Abe is here for two days, and he certainly showed him a very warm welcome to the United States, and don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but I guess he's even taking him golfing down at his golf club down in Miami. So
did Abe ever go golfing with Obama? Do we know that? Is that information we have? And will Abe be able to compare the two presidents on the basis of who's a better golfer?
I think I read where Abe hasn't golfed for a very long time.
Hmm.
For a very long time. So, Postal Service says it's lost $200 million over the holiday season. Despite a strong quarter of package shipping and expanded use of vote by mail in the November presidential election, the results also reflected continuing erosion in the delivery of first-class mail, as well as expensive mandates for pre-funding of its retiree health care obligations. Post Office's report shows earnings of more than $1.4 billion between October and December of 16, but when effects of a $1.7 billion change in workers' compensation liability due to fluctuating interest rates, say that quick, are excluded. So the service says it lost money overall. And it was just not too long ago they reduced the rate of the stamps to mail a first-class envelope. Now they raised them. They increased rates on the flat rate boxes. It used to be $6.95. Now it's over $7. I know my registered and insured packages, they just keep going higher and higher and higher. So, you know, what do they have to do? Of course, if they took away the healthcare obligations and so forth that they're required to prepay by so many years, perhaps they wouldn't have a problem and we wouldn't have to continue to have increased postage increases. But the operating income came to $522 million, down from $1.3 billion in the previous year.
That means that they have essentially their income fell by 50% in 1 year.
It says operating income came to $522 million, down from $1.3 billion in the previous year.
That's what we're talking about. You're talking about a 50% reduction, a little more than that actually, but 50% in 1 year. That's just astonishing. I mean, that's enough. You show me a business that suffers that kind of a loss, and it's not going to be there much longer.
Well, again, you know, they have to pay the part of it is you know, the fluctuating interest rates. You know, that, I mean, you have those costs continue to rise.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't so much that they're not making money; it's the costs are going higher. Postal Service does not use taxpayer money for its operations under federal law. It can't raise prices more than the rate of inflation without approval from the Postal Regulatory Commission.
If they are required to fund their pensions long before they get to them,
I think it's 10 years.
They have to fund them in advance.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
If they have to do that, they may be the only viable pension fund in the country.
Yeah.
When this whole thing goes south, you better hope your brother-in-law or your sister or somebody is married to somebody who works for the post office, or at least did and then retired.
Maybe they may be
the only one who are collecting a pension.
Maybe it's not 10 or 5, but they do have to prepay. Yeah. Let's see, what else? Little short story that I came across today that I thought was
better be real short because we've got
15 seconds.
I don't know. I'm going to have to check
here. The IRS can revoke Americans' passports for unpaid taxes. They're preparing to implement its authority to certify to the U.S. Department of American Citizens seriously delinquent tax debt. The State Department may then refuse to issue or even revoke a person's passport.
Uh-oh, if you want to do some traveling, better do it before the IRS finds out you're delinquent. We're going to take a break. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, yesterday, insurance stocks rose sharply as a memo circulated by Jeb Hensarling out of Texas, out of your area. And the said proposed legislation would no longer deem those companies too big to fail. In the years after the financial crisis, the Financial Stability Oversight Council labeled AIG, MetLife, Prudential as systemically important to the economy, meaning a failure of one of those companies would have far-reaching effects. But his memo, obtained by CNBC, listed, among other things, a commitment to remove remaining non-bank references, sci-fi references. Large banks, it appears, will still fall into that category, which carries hefty regulatory costs, strict government oversight, and the need to carry excess capital in order to avoid being bailed out in the crisis. Companies hardly consider the designation a badge of honor. MetLife sued the government to have the title removed. General Electric sold off its GE Capital unit to shed the affiliation. But what's interesting is, like, you know, maybe I'm just looking at this backwards, but if they are no longer going to be bailed out, if they're too big to fail, and they
they're not too big to fail, is what you're saying. That's the implication. If they're not going to be bailed out,
They're not too big to fail. And their shares went up.
Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
You'd think it would drop, but, you know, the only difference I could see is they don't have to carry the excess capital. And there's more regulatory cost involved if you're going to fall under that category. So if you eliminate that, then, you know, this is maybe one of those, you know, regulations that will make a company a little bit more profitable to avoid having to be bailed out. So
I can make some sense of this, Melody. I've got an article here from the
Associated Press. Laid back Friday, Al. Go be my guest.
I'm going for it, Melody. The headline is Cheeto that looks like Harambe sells for $100,000 on eBay. This is an Associated Press story. Harambe is a gorilla that was shot dead last May by handlers at the Cincinnati Zoo after dragging a small boy who had gotten into his enclosure. A Cheeto, you understand? Cheetos, the things you eat. A Cheeto that bears a resemblance to slain gorilla Harambe has sold for nearly $100,000 on an eBay auction. The listing showed a picture of the Cheeto side by side with a gorilla climbing a tree. Bidding on the cheese snack, the seller said he found in a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Bidding began at $11.99 on January 28th. Ended early Tuesday morning of this week with a winning bid of $99,900. Well, if you see things that don't make sense in economics, this is an explanation. I got some people out there who have money and they don't have a clue what to do with it. They're spending $100,000 or nearly that for a Cheeto that looks like a gorilla.
Hey, Al, you remember Johnny Carson?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember there was that little old lady who she had this potato chip? I can't remember what it was supposed to look like, a dog or something.
It was like Jesus or something, if I remember.
I don't know, but she had this potato chip, and it resembled something, and she was showing it, and she had it on his table there, his desk, and she turned her head. Well, he took the chip and moved it, and he pretended that he sat on it and crushed it. I think that's what he did. He did something to think that he destroyed it in some manner. Yep. The look on that little old woman's face, I'll tell you what, it was priceless. And anyway,
I hadn't heard that one before, but I hear you hear them once in a while. But I mean, what? Who is this? Who did this? $100,000 for a Cheeto?
I have a beautiful coin collection. Some $5 Indian coins, Mint State 63, that cost him a whole lot less than that. But
I understand. And probably last a little bit longer, too. I mean, this is not... Well, they talk about a fool and their money. I mean, this is really just bizarre.
I don't know how many people, and you're right, you know, people and their money, and I don't understand why you would use a... I can maybe see a debit card, but a credit card at Arby's at a fast food restaurant because they've had some problems. Their payment card, they were breached. The fast food chain came clean only when Krebs on security inquired about a possible breach, claiming that the FBI had asked the company not to announce the malware incident. So Arby's was asked not to make this announcement. And this was, let me see if I can do this here. While the investigation is ongoing, ARG quickly took measures to contain this incident and eradicate the malware from systems at restaurants that were impacted. This was a familiar attack from recent breaches at businesses like Wendy's, Intercontinental Hotels, Noodles. The restaurant's payment terminals were infected with malware, which captured customers' payment card numbers, which the thieves in turn put up for sale. So they don't use the credit cards; they sell the credit cards and let somebody else get the get
take
caught,
the risk.
Take the risk. So again, you know, and you know what's really amazing of this? That the FBI actually came out and asked the company not to announce the incident. So
well, you see, this is very important news, and it's not just because the people who did business at Arby's or wherever may have been exposed to losing their PIN numbers and their card numbers and the rest of that. That's not that. That in and of itself, they might have got robbed for $5,000 or something, but that's not the story. The story is that the hackers seem far more adept at cracking into these systems than the people who run them are adept at being able to defend them. And it means that the whole idea of trading, of doing business over the internet and moving money over the internet, or at least currency, it becomes suspect. People are going to lose confidence in the internet as a way of moving their currency around. And what happens then? We're committed to this internet right now. It's been engrafted into our system. It's like having a third lung in your chest or something. It's there. You're not going to get rid of this easily. And yet, if he can't be confident that when you put I'm going to Arby's. They want you to have. I think this may play on the idea of whether we're going to go to a cashless society. I think that might be one of the underlying reasons here. People in positions of power who want a cashless society, they have to sell the idea that you are perfectly safe to use the digitized currency that's represented by those plastic debit cards and credit cards. That everybody's got to have confidence in this, and as we see more and more of these thefts, that confidence can't be enhanced. It can, and it's maybe going to be, degraded. And if enough people don't have confidence in the plastic money system, the plastic currency system, then what? Then we have to have cash, which the government doesn't want. I don't think they want it. I think they're hoping to get rid of it, like other countries. They'd like to be able to get rid of it so they can tax every time you turn around. You'll get taxed. If you buy a Coke, you're going to be bang. Feds are going to get in there and get theirs every single time. They want that money, and they want that control. And they can't have it if it turns out that the hackers are beating the digital financial system. So,
well, I have one more here. Since we're talking about credit cards, interest rates reminds me of credit cards, but the Feds, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, he said yesterday that interest rates are going to stay low. He sees no reason whatsoever the need to move much at all. Last year, Bullard altered the way he forecasts the economy and predicted the federal funds target rate would stay low throughout 2019. This was in a speech at a business school at the Washington University in St. Louis. He said nothing has occurred in the interim to alter his forecast. We think the low, safe real rate regime is unlikely to change in the near term. This means the policy rate can also remain relatively low over the forecast horizon. Bullard says he favors one interest rate hike this year. He wouldn't speculate on when it might occur. The median market, the forecast the Fed is from the Fed is three rate hikes this year. The market is pricing in two. There is little danger of the economy overheating in 2017 as inflation remains muted. The prerequisites for meaningful higher inflation do not seem to have materialized so far. So, again, we're not getting out of this low, this cycle, this low rates.
I don't think they can. I don't think they dare.
They can blame inflation all they want. But, you know, inflation is going to get the blame for it while they're telling you, oh, no inflation, it's still contained. You're going to be paying more and more for everything out there. But they're going to keep telling you.
Well, the problem they've got is, I believe the main reason for the low interest rate, well, two reasons. One is to stimulate people to borrow money, go deeper into debt, to buy stuff, to stimulate the economy. That's part of it. That's the pretext. I think the real reason is that we need low interest rates to allow the government to keep borrowing more money. It can't pay 5%. I don't think it can pay 5% without going broke. I think this is a way of allowing the government to continue to go deeper and deeper into debt in order to stimulate the economy and to provide the debt that we require to fund our debt-based monetary system. If the interest rates go up, the government's going to be hamstrung where they're not going to be able to go deeper into debt without going bankrupt.
Well, I also think this is probably maybe a message to the administration.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, to the administration saying, you know, with low rates and he's saying no inflation, that also means the dollar is going to stay where it's at. You're not going to get a weaker currency. So, and we all know that President Trump wants a weaker currency. So it's going to be an interesting tug of war between the administration and the Federal Reserve. And we'll have to see just who wins, but I know who the losers are going to be. The losers are going to be the people of this country, those that have tried to save, those who have tried to do things responsibly, those who have tried to plan a retirement, and they're the losers. You're going to be the losers unless they're not responsible, but they're going to take the brunt of what the government and what the Federal Reserve have done.
I agree.
And they're going to lose their purchasing power unless they get it protected with gold and silver.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is that the people who are going to get beat up by this situation and have not been responsible in their behavior for the last 45 years. They have allowed, and really more than that, but 45, that the dollar has been a pure fiat currency, unbacked by anything, anywhere. All right, no official backing. They tried petroleum to some degree to replace gold, but regardless, it's been a pure fiat currency. We were foolish. We were dumb. We were ignorant. And we allowed government to pull that stunt on us back in the 1970s, where Nixon closed the gold window and completely terminated the dollar's relationship to gold.
But it started a long time ago.
Oh, I know. It started at 33. When they removed gold domestically. And then they removed silver domestically between 65 and 68.
The point of 1933 is when they confiscated gold. Look at the position they put the people in. You know, people were having a heyday, and then they stripped them of everything.
Well, I don't know that they were having a heyday. They were in the middle. They were in the beginning of the Great Depression.
Before the market crashed, they were having a. You know, have you ever heard of the Roaring Twenties?
Yeah, I did that.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember them, but I was.
But the point is, they put people in a position that in 1933, when they wanted to confiscate the gold, the people didn't have a choice. And of course, things were a little bit more you know, Americana. They supported the governments then too. I don't think they viewed
trusted the government.
They trusted the government and they stood in lines giving back their gold. They were paid
for it.
They
stood in line. The way I understand it, they just pulled them out of circulation. They had the banks pull them out.
No,
went through Venice, a bank, plucked them out of circulation.
They were given a certain point in time and where they had to give back their gold. Many stood around to give back their gold because they thought it was going to help the country. And that's what they were told. They were paid for it. And I hear
we won't fall for that again, will we, Melody?
I hear the stories where, a lot of people didn't give their gold back. Well, you were allowed to keep some. You were allowed to keep, I think, $1,000 face value, which is, in that time, significant. I mean, it was still
20 bucks a coin.
So you were able to keep some, and then they paid you for the rest. And some people, didn't give anything back. So, you have all people who fall in different categories. But my point of this whole story was that I wanted to make was they take and put people in positions where you don't have a chance to react. You'll do what they tell you to do. And I believe this is what will happen with the trillions of dollars that are sitting in pension funds, retirement accounts. Once they take 50, 60, 70% of it, heck, once they take 40%,
what the heck, might as well take it all.
Agree to any of their programs that they'll be willing to give you a United States annuity to where, they'll pay you on a monthly basis and you'll never, ever have to worry about your money again. You'll never go broke. You'll always have this payment and they'll get you. And so to be independent, to be financially, truly independent, you need to have real gold and silver taken with physical delivery. That's how you become truly free in this country anymore.
All right, Melody. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. How many seconds do we have left? We have about 40 seconds left. Here we have some good news. ZeroHedge.com. Most government workers could be replaced by robots. All right. A study from a British think tank, Reform, says that 90% of British civil servants have jobs so pointless they could easily be replaced by robots, saving the government around $8 billion a year. I'm sure the same thing is true in this country. I don't know, would it be a good thing to get rid of the civil servants, or would it be a bad thing to have them replaced by robots? Which is good, which is better? Melody, do you have an idea?
It's going to be
10
both.
Seconds.
It's going to be both. It's great to be able to shrink government and so forth, but you still have that amount of people that don't have jobs that will become a burden because the jobs won't be here in this
country. But I'm wondering, can we do it with Congress? We're talking about bureaucrats, but what about Congress, the Senate, the people in the White House? Will just have the systems analysts and the programmers will run the world. Take a break for a couple minutes. Be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I thought you would. I knew you were going to ask me that.
You don't have an answer for me, do you?
1-800-375-4188. We're going to continue with the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles. This is limited because this is all based on much lower silver pricing and gold pricing when this was originally offered at $560. Same price. Gold and silver is up both higher. 1-800-375-4188, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 Silver Eagles. And the Silver Eagles are this year, 2017s, and they are 1 ounce each. It includes all your shipping costs, $560. So give us a call. And we sold, people took advantage of the Mint State 63 special. That truly was the deal of the century. And if I can do this, I'll continue to do it as long as I can, as long as the spreads are compatible enough to where I can make a little bit of money. Just to remind listeners, we do appreciate your support, and we do thank you for your support, because this program would be possible without your support. It wouldn't be possible without your support. Everything, we don't run advertisements. We don't pay. We don't charge for advertisements. We don't bring in money in any other way for these programs, but by your support. Every once in a while, I'll have someone who, will send me, some cash in the mail to apply to the programs, and that is really appreciated, and I thank you. So, we're probably the only dealer that has a radio program that, does things that way. So we do give back. I support other programs because I believe this is an important way to educate for people to understand what is going on. So not just our program, but others. So I thank you. Alfred?
Got an article from the Hacker News. We've been talking about computers and programmers and hackers and whatever stealing our money, our digital currency and whatever. And here is the headline, "Watch out, first ever word macro malware for Apple Mac OS operating system discovered in the wild." Now, I have a Linux computer that's functioning right now, and I have a Windows 10 computer that's functioning right now. And I can tell you that for myself, I've had people that they have Apple, and they give me.
I have Apple.
I know that. And I was just going to say, boy, you have to deal with these people, and they never let you forget it because there's no viruses for Apple. All right. Well, it turns out now they've got one. All right. Finally. And I think it's about time that some, I don't know what's wrong with the hacker community that they have given Apple a pass up until now. But now we will at least hear the last of the Apple owners brag and say, my computer never gets a virus.
I never get a virus.
It's not so far, but you'll see now. After targeting Windows-based computers over the past few years, hackers are now shifting their interest to Macs as well. The emergence of the first macro-based Word document attack against Apple's Mac OS platform is the latest example to prove this. Security researchers have now detected the first in the wild instance of hackers making use of malicious macros in Word documents to install malware on the Mac computers and steal your data, an old Windows technique. I don't know how old that can be. Certainly that'd be before my time, I guess, or afterwards. I don't know, but I'm not part of that. According to a blog post published this week by Patrick Wardell, Director of Research and Security at Synac, the Python function is virtually identical to Empire and open source Macs and Linux post-exploitation agent, which means Linux, my Linux computer, which is also supposed to be virus-free. Yeah, there's viruses out there for that, too. Wardell tracked the IP address from which the malicious Word documents were spread to Russia.
Oh, let's blame Russia.
Yeah, you blame the Russians. That's where they have all the evil hackers are in Russia. I don't know. It's just something that I get tired of listening to Apple people. Oh, I don't get viruses.
I say that to you how often? Every time you have a problem with your computer,
why don't you get an Apple?
I have no problems whatsoever. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem is I don't update my browsers. This is the original browser.
You don't have any problems with the computer, whatever. how long has it been since you've been able to update your browser?
Well, I don't need an updated browser. Why do I need an updated browser for? If I update my browser, then I'll probably be acceptable to this Mac OS platform. It's the latest of the Apple. So if I keep my browser the same, I'm probably more protected than the new users of Apple. So
maybe there might be some truth to that. I don't know whether there is or there isn't, but
sounds pretty good.
You belong in the Guinness record book. For having the oldest browser that is still in continuous use for North America, probably.
Probably. Yeah. And the number of emails.
That's the other one.
I have more than Hillary.
Yeah, I understand. And you don't even have a private server. What else have we got here? This is kind of interesting. This is from Ms. Shedlock at Global Economic Analysis. And the Fed independence. House Financial Service Committee sends warning letter to Yellen. This is unacceptable. The Trump team wasted no time in telling Fed Chair Janet Yellen what is and is not acceptable. Patrick McHenry, the vice chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, sent Yellen a letter of admonishment regarding international negotiations the Fed conducts in secret with no oversight. Right? The Fed's been cutting deals with foreign banks. And they're doing this in secret. And there's no oversight from the government. Now, this is evidence that the banks, not just the Federal Reserve, but working with the European Central Bank and what other central banks there are that may be part of this, they're attempting to run an alternative system of government. And if I had to guess, I'd say our new world order, assuming we get to it, it will be based on the banking system. The bankers will run. The bankers will rule under the new world order. It won't be standard politics as we're used to it. It'll be something that's operated by the bankers. One line stands out in the letter of admonishment. It says, "This is unacceptable. The preceding paragraphs tear into the Fed's secret negotiations with foreign bureaucrats without transparency, accountability, or authority to do so. Despite the clear message delivered by President Trump to prioritizing America's interest in international negotiations," and what they mean by that is Trump says America first. All right? "It appears that the Federal Reserve continues," and this is a quote from this letter, "continues negotiating international regulatory standards for financial institutions among global bureaucrats in foreign lands without transparency, accountability, or the authority to do so. The Fed is conducting its own foreign policy without oversight from the government. Moreover, the letter seeks comprehensive review of the past agreements with the Financial Stability Board." Past agreements. What kind of deals have you cut up until now? Basel and the international agreements with the Financial Stability Board, Basel and the International Association of Insurance Supervisors that unfairly penalized the American financial system. The letter blasts secretive structures and opaque decision-making processes at the Fed. The letter finishes with a final warning. "It is incumbent upon all regulators to support the U.S. economy and scrutinize international agreements that are killing American jobs. Accordingly, the Federal Reserve must cease all attempts to negotiate binding standards burdening American businesses until President Trump has had an opportunity to nominate and appoint officials that prioritize America's best interest." Ms. Shedlock, he continues, he says, "The Fed's independence is over. The Fed's ability to conduct secret deals just ended. In an audit, the Fed initiative is likely on deck." We'll see about that. I'm going to be fabulously impressed if Trump was able to cause an audit of the Federal Reserve, find out how much gold is really left in here, and see what's really going on. Because the books have been cooked, and a lot of people think the gold is gone. They claim to have 8,200 tons. Maybe they do. A lot of people think they don't. They think much of it, maybe most of it, has been pumped into the market secretly in order to suppress the price of physical gold. And we'll watch and see how this all works out. But we are reaching a moment where if we have significant inflation, it will tend to destroy the dollar, not diminish it, not just devalue it. We've already lost 95% of its purchasing power since 1971. There's only a couple percent left, 3-5% of that original purchasing power that remains. And how fast we eat through that. If we go into inflation, there's only a few percent, and at some point the American people are going to realize, holy cow, that dollar ain't worth nothing. And when they do, and they lose confidence in the dollar, we will see hyperinflation. We'll see the dollar, which will take 18 months, 12, 18, maybe 24 months. Dollar will die, cease to exist. All right, it'll take $100,000 to buy a hamburger, or maybe that's just pull a number out of the hat. But the dollar will cease to function if we go into significant inflation. And the point I'm making is the Federal Reserve cannot be too enthusiastic about inflating, causing further inflation, because further inflation is going to tend to destroy the dollar. Now, the Fed, from their perspective, I think would like to see deflation, which increases the value of the dollar and prevents it from expiring. But when we have deflation, deflation is terrible for debtors. It means they have to pay off their debts with more valuable dollars. You borrow $100,000, we have 20% deflation. It means even though you pay back $100,000, nominal $100,000, but the purchasing power is worth $120,000. And that means that debtors are badly disabled by deflation. Who's the biggest debtor in the world? Government of the United States. What's my point? My point is that the Federal Reserve wants deflation to ensure the value of their only product. All they make are dollars. They have to. If the dollar dies, what is the point to the Federal Reserve? They're gone. We are at a point where it's either them or it's either the Fed or the government. I don't think they can both work together. I don't think they can both survive. And whichever way we go, it may take a couple more years before this unwinds, but go to deflation, government can't pay the debt. Once government admits it can't pay the debt, what happens to the value of the bonds, and everything blows up in everybody's face if they can't pay the debt? Part of the reason they have near zero interest rates. They can't pay the debt, all right? On the other hand, if we have inflation, it'll ruin the dollar. The next thing you know, the Federal Reserve's got nothing to sell. What are their dollars worth? They're going to be like Zimbabwean dollars. They're going to be printing them on the press, and the Federal Reserve notes will be worth virtually nothing. How does the Fed survive? We have two major institutions that are now opposed. They were able to work together for the last 40 years or so because we had, you know, there was enough leeway either way. You could have inflation, you could have deflation. There was room to play. There was margin for error here. But today we are down to a point where there's not much space left. The government's so far in debt, it can't take any more cost on borrowing. And the Federal Reserve's, our dollars are down, so are devalued to the point where they're almost worth nothing. One of them is going to go, right? And I don't see either. I think, to me, this is the rock and the hard place. One of those institutions is headed for a major collapse. Maybe the Federal Reserve, maybe the government. If the government is going to survive, it needs inflation, which serves all debtors. They can pay off their debts with cheaper dollars. If the Fed's going to survive, they need deflation, which means that the creditors are making money and the borrowers, the debtors, they are getting hurt. The borrowers are getting hurt and the creditors are making money. we are down, we're close to a point where the two of them are going to have to admit they are adversaries. They are no longer co-conspirators in robbing this country or changing this country. They are now at a point where one will survive and one will not, and we'll see how this is going to. We'll see how this is going to play out. I mean, this is, to me, this is an extraordinary drama. My analysis is, you know, I'm always subject to being making a mistake, and it might not work out quite the way I'm anticipating, but I'm thinking we're even seeing evidence of this rising conflict between the Fed and the government, and we're seeing evidence of it with this letter from the Trump administration to Janet Yellen telling her, you know, this is unacceptable. You can't have secret negotiations with foreign bureaucrats. We need transparency, accountability, and you need authority to do this, and you don't have any. This is explosive stuff, and we'll see how it works out, and it'll be, you know, it'll take a while for this to be resolved, where it becomes clear enough where everybody can see for sure what's happening. But this is a big, big trauma, dilemma, conflict that's happening right now. We're out of time, folks. We want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.